Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and I have my co-author here. The one and only T. Morris is here. Well, you were here for the last show, too. So
I was. And the shows before that.
We make a big deal out of it. Like, it's something new. It's not.
I know, right?
Well, in this episode, we are going to be talking about file sizes, and we're going to really get into the nuts and bolts, some pretty deep technical stuff about sample rates and bit rates. And not to confuse you, it is very well explained in the book, and I wish I could do an equally job ad hoc without looking at the book, so we'll do our best.
That's but why also, I have the book right here. I mean, just be like, oh yeah,
ta-da,
that's
there
a
we
very
go.
Easy thing to explain.
We're not going to
Joint
read to the
works
no,
this way.
This is not read the book to you. If this is your first episode, this is sort of the director's editorial about the book and what we went through and some things that may have been dropped from the book that we would like to expound upon. So we'll also be talking about ID3 tags, those that information, what's appropriate to put in there, what you don't want to put in there about your show to help people search and maybe get a richer experience out of it is what I'm discovering lately. Like, wow, there's some things in here. And apps have come a long way since I first started podcasting. So
from the book of Podcasting for Dummies, using different sample rates and compressed audio files does not affect the file size. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Actually, that should be thanks be to Pod.
Chapter 9.
Too much.
Pages 34 through 36.
5 is right out. Okay, let's get some focus on here. All right. So we are, now here's the thing to know about for Dummies books. Especially when it comes to tech stuff, we do try to touch on it. We try to touch on the technical aspect of whatever it is we're doing technology-wise. Chapter 9, would you argue that Chapter 9 is probably the most tech-detailed of all the chapters we've got? I'm pretty sure it is.
Yes.
Because we go into bit rate, we go into joint stereo, we go into all that. And this is stuff that is pretty tech-heavy for anybody new to podcasting. But it is still a necessity to go over, because if you don't understand how bit rates work or how to compress a file to a point where you don't compromise the file, all that stuff matters. Would you agree with that?
I can also before you go on, I want to say that joint stereo is now legal in several states. Couldn't resist. It was just hanging out there. Anyway.
Your podcast studio may seem a little funny and you're going to crave pizza, but that's beside the point. Anyway, Chuck, you were saying.
Bit rates and sample rates come down to not just the audio quality, but the file size. If you're encoding things at the wrong rates, you're generating that final MP3 output file, it could come back to bite you when you upload it to your host and suddenly you've used up all of your monthly limit on download space and go, what happened? Right. Well, there may be some ways that you can tune that back without suffering from quality. So it's something to be aware of, but you're right. It is that balance between, hey, this is a Dummies book. Remember when we used to have the RSS feed spec in there? Page 212 of the second edition. I remember it well.
all the edits, though, that we were able to take out of this particular edition, the one that made me the most happy.
The
chat,
microphones.
No.
Oh, the omnidirectional happiest versus unidirectional. No,
not even that.
What was it?
The thing that made me the happiest when we took it out of this book was we no longer had to say you do not need an iPod to podcast. since the iPod has been discontinued, I was like, you know what? We don't have to say this anymore. We don't have to say it anymore.
I don't think anybody
and
asks it anymore,
so
dude.
Freaking good. So, what?
Yeah, nobody asks it anymore.
No, they don't. They don't. Actually, it's been the opposite. People are like, "Oh, you have a podcast too?" And I'm just like, two? What do you mean two? You know, I mean, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's but that's a discussion for another time. But to understand, in fact, and where this really comes into play, understanding bit rates and understanding compression and things like that. This is going to be real important, especially if you're using Libsyn as your hosting solution, because Libsyn has they're like yes, here's the basic package. Here's how much space you have. And if you're not paying attention to how you're compressing your files, you're going to run out, as Chuck said, you're going to run out of that space real quick. And that is not exclusive to Libsyn. That you'll see that everywhere. Podbean, all the different places that offer a hosting service comparative to Libsyn. We mentioned Libsyn by name mainly because we're good friends with the folks who started Libsyn, and they, in my opinion, are still, they're the go-to people. If people say, I want to start a podcast, where do I go? I go start with Libsyn. Have Libsyn take care of it. I independently host my podcast. I think Chuck does as well. Yes. But in all fairness, we've been doing it long enough that we kind of know how to do it. But as far as beginners, Libsyn just makes it insanely easy.
We used Libsyn for a number of years. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so where do we begin when we start talking about compression? I'll go on ahead and drop this softball over to you. Why don't I just compress it as hard as possible? Why don't I just get it down to 8 kilo, kilobaud per second?
Okay.
Why wouldn't I do that?
there's a few examples I can give you. 8K is what a standard phone would sound like. So if your podcast wants to sound like, you know,
like a tinny phone call that comes through from an AM radio from 1942, go right ahead.
You know, that's what you're going to get if you start tuning these things. You will get a nice small file. Hey, I got a whole hour and it's only about 10 meg.
Yeah, perfect.
That's
perfect. But
it's not going to have a very good quality, or it might sound kind of jittery. So
now, but what about saying, okay, well, I want to preserve the audio quality and the subtlety and all this. So I'm not going to compress it that much. You know, I'm going to take my kilobaud and put it up in the 300s. What's the downside of that?
There's a point of diminishing return where the human ear just won't perceive that quality anymore. So and now all you're doing is using file size and wasting bandwidth to get a file. If you didn't compress at all, your 1 hour podcast is now going to take 600 megabytes.
Right.
Not right. 10, 6. The happy medium is somewhere in between there.
So what do you define as the happy medium? What do you define as the happy medium?
I set my sample. I've got to get these right. Correct. Careful. If I'm wrong. Yeah. Careful. Very careful, because there's a sample rate and there's a bit rate. And right. I'm looking
right now we're concentrating on the bit rate.
The bit
which is,
rate,
which is measured in something called KBPS, or kilobaud per second.
Kilobits per second.
Kilobits per second. That's what I've been saying.
Sure.
Edit that, Chuck.
Put that in
that.
The bloopers.
Yeah. Kilobit per second. Kilobit per second. All right. So anyway, that's what we're dealing with. Kilobit per second.
That's the common one that most people think of when they're listening to say CD. You may have even seen this if you've converted some files in the way back days when you said, hey, convert this to an MP3 or an AAC or whatever. It will say, what bit rate would you like to do this as? And common ones are going to be 64, 128, 192, usually in factors of 64, but not necessarily. 320 is up there somewhere. And a good one for spoken audio is probably going to be in that 128 kbps section. You may, if you've got music in your podcast, you may consider something one notch higher, maybe up to 192, especially if you've got stereo music in your podcast. Okay. Those are the typical ones. Again, if you go beyond that, your listener's not going to perceive, wow, this is really deep quality. I can really pick up the subtle nuances of the voice. Nah, it's not going to happen.
If you are just doing a spoken podcast and there's no music or anything, consider even making a mono podcast instead of stereo. You cut your file size in half.
Yeah, can do that. And that's that is an option. On a whole, what I tend to do is I tend to use 192 kilobit per second for my bit rate. And it's just because it was just easier for me. And I also noticed that while, yes, if I go to mono at 64 kilobit per second, it'll still sound fine, but it won't have the same audio quality to join stereo.
Okay.
And now there will be a considerable difference between a 64 kilobit mono file versus a 192 joint stereo.
Oh yes, definitely.
But if you're doing stereo versus joint stereo, if you're doing 128 kilobytes versus 192 kilobytes, you really don't save much memory. So I'd like, okay, do I want to save like a couple megabytes of memory, or do I want to want the audio quality?
If you haven't done this before, if you're just getting into podcasting, export your file a couple of different ways and try these one variable at a time. Go a little higher on this number. Have a listen. Do a short version of your podcast. You know, you don't want to necessarily record your whole hour-long thing and then go, how does it sound? Do a sample. You play your intro. You say, hey, this is me. I'm just recording something as a sample. I want to hear how my voice sounds at the different bit rates. Play your outro music. Good. I got a 60-second sample. Makes it quick. Export it at 192. Export it in stereo. Export it in mono. Export it at 128.
And upload it to your server.
No, don't upload it to your server.
Saying,
export it and play it back and listen to the differences. And say, is this good enough? Is this the supreme quality? Am I an audiophile? Okay, trust me, you will become an audiophile over time. You'll go back and listen to some of those older podcasts and go, ugh, it might have been the equipment, it might have been the way you encoded, it might have been the software, who knows? Speaking of doing that process, T, what are some methods that people use to export their edited file? You got it all edited up, and you spit it out, and you want it to be an MP3 in the end. I want to hear how you do it, and then we can compare the way I do it.
So I export at joint stereo, 192 kilobit per second and 44 kilohertz. We're going to get to sample. That's a sample rate. We're going to get to that in a second. That's what I export as. For a long time, I used iTunes, and I know that eventually iTunes is Dodo on the Mac. There's also the possibility that a lot of my recording is going to jump from being Mac oriented to PC oriented. And if I can't run iTunes on a PC, then what are my options? Well, I can also export directly to MP3 from both Audacity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also use Logic Pro, which is the Adobe Audition for Mac exclusively. Mm-hmm. And that also allows me to export at all of these settings. Audition also allows that. And I don't know if all digital audio workstations allow for that, but if you have your entire podcast set up in a digital audio workstation or a DAW, if you have everything all set up in there, you can just create your MP3 right from that. And that was actually the workflow I did for the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. What we did is we had our intro and outro already recorded. We did not export the intro and outro as MP3s. We exported them as AIFFs. I'll get to that in a second. Mm. So we already had the intro and outro already done. And then what I would do is I would do one pass where I would only have the story and sound effects. I'd then export that as an AIFF. I'd bring in the AIFF into my DAW, and then I would score it. So then it would be story with FX, music. I'd export that as an AIFF. And then I had my intro and outro. I would go intro, story, outro. I export that as an MP3. The reason why, you want to make sure your intros and outros are at AIFF or WAVE if you're on a PC. Mm-hmm. is that that is, for the lack of a better term, that's your Photoshop. And when you create an MP3, you're creating an audio JPEG. And the reason you want to make sure that your intro and outros are AIFF or WAVE is because if you make an MP3 of an MP3, that's really going to crunch the sound quality, and you don't want that. You can make MP3s of MP3s, but it's like making a JPEG of a JPEG, and you really don't want to do that. I'm putting this in Photoshop terms because I know that people are familiar with what happens when you take a Photoshop image and you make a JPEG, and then you make a JPEG from the JPEG, and then you make a JPEG from the JPEG from the JPEG. It's the same thing with MP3 files.
Yep.
And you want to be careful. Did you have another piece of software that you use for creating?
Just to add on to that, the terms you're interested in that T hasn't mentioned is lossless versus lossy. You may hear those terms. Lossless format is your raw format. You don't lose anything when you take a WAV file and you edit it and you export it as a WAV file. But you are losing a little bit when you compress it to an MP3 file. MP3 is a lossy format. Okay, that should be your final output. This is what the public is going to get. They're going to lose a little bit, but it's on the benefit of saving a whole lot of disk space. I mean, to the tune of...
Because when you do a lossless format like WAV or AIF, those puppies are huge. We're not just talking hundreds of megabytes. We're talking even up to even... You can get up into the gigabytes. And it was one of the things... I'm kind of foreshadowing to when we start talking about streaming, because we do talk about streaming here in Podcasting for Dummies. It's when people were doing video podcasts, they were racking their brains trying to figure out how to get smaller files for downloads and streaming purposes back then. And they would, it was like you could set a watch to it. They would come to forums, podcasting forums, and they're going, I have a video podcast that's 30 minutes long and it is huge. And I don't know what to do. How can I get this into a smaller file without compromising the quality? And everybody says the same thing. You need a shorter video podcast, which is one of the reasons why I don't think video podcasting really caught on.
Or you export it at 320 by 240.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's a little 320 by 240. Serious, bro. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that you want to make sure that... you want to make sure that when you're compressing it, you know there's going to be a little bit of loss of quality, but you don't want it to be dramatic. And this goes back to what Chuck was saying. There, MP3 is a lossy format, which means that when you don't get something for nothing. You know, when you compress that audio, it's going to take a hit, but you don't want it to be a dramatic of a hit. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In terms of workflow, I still use the successor to iTunes. Apple Music still does a great job. They've got a great compressor in there. I bring up Apple Music. It looks like the old iTunes. I put in my raw file and I say convert, and out comes an MP3 file. And then I tag that. We'll get into tags in just a little bit.
Sure.
That's one way. That's the way I will post produce this show. Technorama, on the other hand, I take the WAV file, literally take the SD card out of my recorder, my H6, put it into my Mac and say, copy this WAV file into this Google folder. Craig gets it. He's got an automated thing that goes, hey, look, a new WAV file. Sends it to Auphonic, which we mentioned, I think, in the last show.
Yep.
It takes care of the compression with those settings already there. So, we're doing 44.1 on the sample rate. We do the 192 on the bit rate. Joint stereo, pretty much standard stuff. So it's all automated for us, and we've got that taken care of. But that's the way that it's still out there and still works. There is one rare exception that I found that we use on audio projects where we have a number of people working together just to cut down on the file size. And it's a bit of a lesser used format, but instead of MP3, we will record and encode in MP2. It is a compressed, lossless format. Now,
never heard of it.
We used it for Friends in Tech years ago when we were doing a lot of those audio dramas. Worked really well. It cuts the file size when you're transferring and say,
hey, T, here's an hour's worth of me reading for you, and there's about 18 takes on there. Take what you want. Instead of sending you a 600 meg file, I'm sending you, you know, 200 meg or 160 meg file. So a lot less file space, which is important if you're dealing with, hey, I've only got 15 gig on Dropbox. But you can also uncompress it. It's not something you would give your final distribution because I can't think of too many audio players that recognize MP2. Exactly. But you can import that into Audacity and do your editing there. So consider that as an option for those interim files that you're exchanging that way.
So real quick, I want to also touch on, since we've gone into what KBPS is, you know, kilobits per second, let's talk about sample rates. What's the difference? Well, KBPS is specifically about data size, you know, how much information is going from B. Sample rates is about the audio and about the audio quality. And you'll see when you get to the compression part, you know, you're asked, what do you want the kilobits per second to be? And then what do you want your sample rate to be? And the standard sample rates are 8 kilohertz, 22 kilohertz, 32 kilohertz, 44 kilohertz, and 48 kilohertz. So what is all that? Okay, well, I'll make it simple for you. You want to use 44 kilohertz if you're using stereo or joint stereo podcasts. If you're using mono, if you're doing mono podcasting, 32 kilohertz is more than acceptable. But 44 kilohertz is the audio quality of a standard audio CD.
Mm-hmm.
48 kilohertz is video, is digital video. All right. And if people think, well, you know, I would like to have it, you know, with digital video quality, it's only 4 kilohertz more. You're not going to notice the difference between 44 and 48. So when it comes to sample rates, if you're doing mono, 32 kilohertz is fine. But if you're doing stereo or joint stereo, 44 kilohertz is where you want to go. Anything to add to that, Chuck?
Yeah, there's a fun story that I had years ago. Craig got a new microphone, or he was talking through his H2. I can't remember what it was, but he sounded like Mickey Mouse. The pitch was way up. And we found out that his computer was running at 44.1, but the recorder was actually encoding at 48. And right. That mismatch caused the pitch to change. And it sounded like, you know, Helium or Mickey Mouse or whatever you want to call it. Right. It was up there. It made for a very humorous few minutes while we debugged the problem. And I was thinking about just leave the whole podcast like that. But so if you encounter,
In that case, yes. You are going to hear a difference between the...
Yeah.
But that brings us to something else. Make sure that your equipment across the board
is matched,
is recording, and in the matched format.
Yeah.
Make sure, and you'll see that sometimes H2s and H4s and H6s, they all ask, what do you want to record at? And it is a better idea. Again, going back to what we were talking about, if you're podcasting something and you're recording an interview, you want that interview to be recorded either at a lossless format, WAVE or AIF.
I just looked at my H6. There's a status line right on the bottom that says WAVE 44.1/16. Like, I know exactly what that file will look like when I pull it off.
Right, right. And so that's what you want to also make sure of, is that all of your equipment is staying consistent. All of your recording parameters are matching, and that's important to know. So this brings us to the last little detail that you're going to want to cover: ID3 tags. Chuck, tell us all about them.
ID3 tags are the metadata that goes with your audio file. So when somebody is looking at their Pocket Cast or Apple Podcast app or whatever their podcast client is, possibly even watching it on their desktop from a browser. I haven't seen that too common. It's the data that comes up and says, this is the title, this is the author, this is the genre, this is the year, this is the episode number or chapter of X. And may include, probably should include, album art, some sort of cover art that goes with that episode or with your podcast. May include additional lyrics, as they're called in Apple Music. You can say custom lyrics. Right. So when people are swiping through and saying, hey, what's coming up next? What are the lineup of topics that they're talking about on this podcast? You've got that in those, that it gives them a richer experience rather than just listening in the car. I remember there were the early days when we didn't use ID3 tags or you just upload your raw file and you're listening to it on your plane. It says file 01.mp3. Yeah. Like that's all you got. That's all you
got. That's all you got.
And it's even
all you got.
Now think about
drove me bananas when people were like, I don't know what was worse. Podcasters that knew better, but just said, I don't feel like dealing with those ID3 tags. They're just kind of a detail I don't need. And I'm sitting there going, dude, I am currently driving at work. I want to know some more details about this podcast. I glance at my iPod or I glance at my...
the dashboard. I mean, people have... Not just the dashboard.
And it says file 2020-0124 underscore LPLVP. Dot .01 dot MP3, and I'm sitting there going, "That's all you got for me?" For some podcasts, I wouldn't listen. I'd unsubscribe. I'm like, just do the damn MP3 tag.
It doesn't take that long.
It doesn't take that long, and also, if you're fortunate enough, you can find a script runner that will just with one click will put in most of the redundant tags, and all you got to do is put in an episode. What we do at Happy Hour from the Tower, the shared desk at all of our podcasts, and even this one, is Mac has something called Automator, and I think it still works. But I have a script designed by Paul Fisher where you basically are playing the MP3, and then you just run Automator. And Automator will fill in every tag for you.
Nice.
And then all you have to do is put in the episode name, and then you put in the show art. Show art's coming in the next episode. And all these little details matter because at a glance I can look and say, okay, I'm listening to Headshots. This was show 38 about how Destiny saved my life. Mm-hmm. And this is from the Geek Therapy Network. And all those little details really do enhance the listening experience of it. And instead of listening to it's like I said, devil's in the details. It really does give your show one final spit polish. And I love that about MP3 tags, and they're not hard to do.
No, I do it a little more manually. And I figure if I'm posting this information to the website, I'm also putting it in the show notes because I can't guarantee that whoever got this show is going to the website. So I'm going to do this anyway. I start with, what's the title? It's Podcasting for Dummies, Season 4, Episode 14. I think we're in 14 on this one. And then I give it a title. Okay. Then it's, what is the subject? Well, you better tell your listener a little bit about it, or somebody who's browsing, or someone who's searched the internet and maybe tripped across some keywords. They got to this episode. So I type that out. T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi talk about bit rates, sample rates, encoding, file sizes, ID3 tags, all the final details you need to put on your podcast. Ooh, I should just transcribe that right now. That was beautiful.
I'll mark it. I'll clip it and I'll send it to you.
And so then
you
can go as and I'm that. Editing, I'm listening for topic change. We pivoted from from bit rates and sample rates to ID3 tags at this time. I'm jotting down the time code notes. Because that's another level of detail that the listener wants. I'm just putting this into a text editor at this point. It's just nothing but text. And then when I finally get to, hey, it's time to put the post on podcastingfordummies.com, it's a copy-paste exercise, or as one of my friends likes to say, a copy-pasta exercise. And then when I'm doing the ID3 tags in Apple Music, because they have a very good encoder, I could...
And that's what I knew. That's what I knew podcasting had gone completely legit. Because for years, Chuck and I have been doing this long enough that we know the time when we were putting together the ID3 tags, and you had to manually put in as the genre podcast. But then when all these ID3 tags were actually offering podcasts as a genre, I'm like, hey, we've arrived, everybody. We've arrived. But it's also good, you know, whether you're using an automator or not, it's also good to let people know, like, when the show you can say, you can even say what year was this produced.
Right. There's a year.
And Apple. And Apple's taking it even further. And they're saying, oh, what season are you in? Mm-hmm. So for us, it would be season four. So yeah, there's a lot you can do with ID3 tags. And it's the final thing that you really have to do before we start getting into album artwork. And then where do you put that on your server and little things like that. And we've got a lot to talk about with album artwork coming up in the next show. I'm pretty much spent on talking about the last few things about the sample rates, the compression, and the and the ID3 text. Chuck, did you have anything you wanted to add?
The devil's in the details, and the more you can automate this, the happier you'll be, because you want to keep podcasting fun. Don't turn it into a chore and go, oh, I recorded that file, but I don't have time to do all this. Find ways. It's a very collaborative community.
Find the time.
There are people out there that have found shortcuts. Talk to them, reach out, find out what they're doing. It's a fun exchange of ideas. You go, oh, that's awesome. For, you know, a couple of bucks, I can save myself all this time and it will do it. Other times you may still be an old schooler like me and use a text editor and copy pasta.
There you go. There you go. So Chuck, where can people find ways to interact with us in the podcast and in the stream, and take us out?
Absolutely. I hear that old familiar music fading in. Bed music we talked about on the last one. You can find us at podcastingfordummies.com. Find our books anywhere you find our regular podcasts. You can find it on Apple and iTunes. I almost said the dreaded I word. Apple Podcasts, yeah. And Google and Amazon. You know where to find us. Call our voice line. We'd love to hear from you. 703-791-1701 is where you can leave us a voicemail. We love hearing from our listeners. We had somebody posted a picture of Podcasting for Dummies in a real legit bookstore,
right?
Today. That was awesome. And if
it was a nice bookend. It was a nice bookend. On one end was Podcasting for Dummies. On the other end, it was Twitch for Dummies. And I'm just like, I can live with that. And we were forward facing. We weren't spine facing. We were forward facing. I'm like, even better.
Kind of looks like the screen that the viewer is looking at right now if you're watching the video. I wonder where he was inspired. You can look at this screen if you want to watch us record live and ask Q&A live, twitch.tv/theTMonster. Just remember that Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, is protected by Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, share alike, United States 3.0 license. Find out more at creativecommons.org. For T. Morris and me, we wish you all the best. Stay safe, stay warm, and pod on.